You're not going to intimidate God. This is that weekend that we've set aside to do this. We've been doing this almost 25 years. We know what works. You get good men, you get good ministers, good musicians, good food. Something good is going to happen. We have a lot of people that have traveled, come from all over the place, come from Europe, come from North America, and we're just honored to have you all with us. It's our great pleasure to be able to host you, and we have a wonderful team here to support you and supply everything that you have need of, and all you need to do is ask, and we'll do everything we can to make your stay comfortable and enjoyable. And but now you have the opportunity to operate the gift and to pull that speaker in your direction and to have him minister to your need. And we've seen it happen time and time again. And I can tell you truthfully that every one of the ministers who are speaking so far have told me that, you know, they came planning to speak on something, and on the way, on the journey, or even when they got here, something changed, something turned. And so to me, that says God's wanting to do something specific. God's taken this above their thinking. He's taken it above all of our thinking, and he's got something in mind for you. And that's exciting. When God's got something in mind for us, that's exciting. So I can sense the atmosphere just changing a little bit. Let me tell you, that's the way it should be. We should begin like other meetings end. So what we want you to do is take your prayer request now and hold it upon your heart. And I wanted to remember two brothers. Brother Paul LaFontaine is not here. He's got the year off. He's got some things that are happening in his church, and he really felt burdened to stay at home this weekend. He was scheduled to come and speak, and we gave him the weekend off. So we miss Brother Paul and want to hold him up in prayer and his family. Also as well, Brother Matt Watkins was scheduled also to speak. Brother Matt was flying home the other day from Poland and had a severe pain in the airplane. He was seen by a clinician in Amsterdam and was cleared to fly home. He's home now, resting, and they're doing some exploratory tests. And we just want to pray for Brother Matt. He's a great servant of the Lord, both of him and Paul, and just trust that the Lord will touch them. Ministers are under great pressure times like this, and so we certainly want to hold them up in prayer. So let's bow our heads together. Brother Aaron, if you would come, open up in a word of prayer for us. Raise your hand if you have a need tonight. Brother Aaron.
Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, as Moses of old said, if your presence does not go with us, then we don't want to go. We know that in the beginning you were there. There was nothing that was started without you. And we don't want to start these meetings without you, Father. Because your blessings are good, but what we want is your presence. Father, we want to see your face. For Father, even John says, it does not appear what we shall be. But when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Father, may you shine your face upon these meetings. May you take the ministers and put them under the power of your right hand. Father, the hands that are raised up, may you take these needs, Father. We are bringing them before your throne of mercy, knowing that you are a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, we want to especially remember Brother Matthew this evening. We thank you, Father, for fighting for him to be able to bring him home. Lord, may you bring him complete healing. We know that it's already paid for. And Father, we are claiming it back. Because Father, if you were here, you would say, I cannot heal you because I've already done it. We thank you for Brother Paul and the burden that he has. We pray that you may be with him wherever he is, with his church. Now, Father, as we begin, as we start, be with the song service. May the atmosphere here be so sweet. May your spirit, may there be no hindrance of anything that will come in our midst that may grieve your spirit. Father, may you come in your power and be so such a mighty force among us. Lord, we are surrendering ourselves to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. Shake somebody's hand. Say, welcome, pilgrim. We're together again.
Just praising the Lord. We're together again. All in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something
sing it now. All sing it again now.
We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in water cool. Something good, yes, yeah, something good is in store. We're together again.
Let's sing that little song, Jesus, Hold My Hand.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Well, he leads me safely through that sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. And as I to God day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Will I need every hour? Oh, yes. Protect me by the same time. Hear my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. And as I kneel and pray, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel through this life that I may see blessed way. Oh, keep me that I may behold in thine and sing redemption song someday. Oh, yes. I will be a soldier, brave and true, and ever firm take my stand. As I onward go, and day to meet that foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need every eye. Pilgrim land, by thy side. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. Listen now. When I wander through that valley dim toward the setting of the sun, will now lead me safely to the land of the red fire of life have won. See, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. Oh, think about it. The friend on whom I can depend, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. When I knew, I hope to meet you there. Well, I have found the way that leads to an estate yonder in the glory land. And though the way seems right, oh, Jesus is the light, and I hold his guiding hand. I found the way, yes, I found the way. glory, hallelujah. Yes, I have found the way. Well, I have found the way that leads to in this day yonder in the glory land. Oh, Jesus is the light, and I hold his guiding hand. Well, I have found the way. I found the way. Hallelujah. Well, I have found the way. See, I will never fear while Jesus is so near. I will bravely meet the foe, and happy songs I'll sing in honor of the King. Oh, the onward go. Sing it now. Oh, I have you found that way, friends? Glory. I have found the way. Oh, oh, oh. Well, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little. Path that's always straight. Just a little more. Oh, in this low and sinful state, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. And soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Oh yes, soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Waiting for our entrance there, some sweet day we're going over all the beauties there. Just a little while to stay. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. And just a little more of trouble. Children enter in. Oh, and then we'll hear the choir of angels singing out the victory song. Oh yes, now all our troubles will be ended. Ever strong. Well, just a little while. Oh, just a little while. It's always straight. See, just a little more of trouble in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly gate. Amen. Why don't you give him a hand? If you're in the battle, of G, let's bring it up to G. Well, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. And if you're surely you must fight, just keep on the firing line. faithful. God is righteous. Keep on the firing line. Well, God will only use a soldier he can trust. Think about that now. That's right, sing it. If you wear a crown that bears the cross you must, you gotta keep on. Now life is but the labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service here. Keep on the firing line. Come on, sing it out, praise him. Be brave against all evil. Never run or even lack behind us. If you would faithful. God in the right, keep on the firing line. Now when we get to heaven, brother, you'll be glad, yes. Oh, how we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Just keep on that firing line. And when we see the soul, oh yes, Lord, Jesus pass us in, and with a shout of welcome we will all march in. Glory, fiery line. Well, you must fight, be brave against all people. Never run or be flagged behind. If you would run for God in the right, just keep on the fiery line. Well, you must fight against all evil. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship. Every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing hallelujah now. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing it again. And every praise. Every word of worship, oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing hallelujah, church. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. God, my Savior. God, my Savior, God, my healer. Oh, my deliverer. Yes, 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 yes. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Every word of worship, oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. Sing hallelujah now. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, every praise, you know it's to our God. My Savior, oh, you're my healer. word of worship. Oh, every praise, you know it's too hot. Sing hallelujah now. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, every praise, you know it's too hard. Pitching in and just really bringing that presence on the scene, amen. It's just, we don't want to take up too much time. The word is the most important, but we certainly want to set the right atmosphere. And I believe we're certainly doing that now. And it's just good to see each and every one of you and just fellowship with you all. We're going to have Brother Keith come up. You can take your seats for a little while, and he's got a special for us. And we're just certainly thankful to have Brother Keith with us. Been through a great ordeal and still fighting the battle, and we keep him in our prayers all the time, and we're just believing God's going to work a miracle in his life. Amen. Amen. So we'll just, without further ado, let Brother Keith take it over there.
To offer you a little bit of encouragement, you're looking at the result of your prayers. Amen. For those of you that have prayed, I wasn't supposed to be here, but God knows when he's ready. Amen. And I appreciate you all's prayers so much. 2 weeks ago, I was so weak I couldn't even get up off my couch, and it's been a real battle, but God has been with me all the way to the end. No matter how hard the enemy fights, I'm going to keep fighting back. Because I know he's not going to quit, and I'm certainly not going to quit. Just an old camp meeting song for you old timers that might remember this. Just put your 10-stringed instruments together and help me out. The Lord has been so good to me. He set my captive spirit free. Old things have passed away. All things are new today. He gave me life to pass on in. Oh, how I've changed since I met him. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new ever since that happy day. He opened up my blinded eyes, and then I had a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Without a doubt, I know it's real. There's glory in my soul. There's the hallelujahs roll. The earthly friends may turn me down. I still got peace since I have found. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Oh, I'm in a new world. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, he opened up my ending I had. A great surprise I'm in. A new world since the Lord saved me. Oh, yes, I'm in. A new world. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Ever since that happy day, oh, he opened up my blinded eyes, and then I had a great surprise. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Amen.
A new world now, amen? Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to ask our deacons if they'll make their way forward. We're going to take up an evening offering. And you feel free to just give as unto the Lord, and knowing that tithes and offerings, as we know, go to help further God's kingdom throughout this world. Amen. Maybe we could sing that song just as the ministry makes their way forward. Welcome, Holy Spirit, Key of D, musicians.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have, Lord, to just come during the week to lay our cares aside. We thank you that we just have this time, Lord, as men to come and fellowship and praise your name. Lord, I pray that you just bless the sermons. Pray that you bless the minister. Pray that you'll stir our hearts and speak to us. Pray that you bless this offering. Pray that you bless it to the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, son. Well, let's sing that song together as Brother Barry makes his way. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside. Sing it again now. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside. 'Cause you're the living waters. 'Cause you're the living water. Oh, never dry.
Chorus again now. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Be here with your presence. Fill us with your power. Live inside of me. And all God's people said, praise the Lord. You may be seated this evening just for a moment. Welcome to everybody, all you latecomers that are here. If you haven't registered, you can see Brother Keith afterwards, and he'll take care of that for you. Now, just a couple of practical things here. I'll just throw in a couple, and we can bring up our schedule here. In this facility, we have the place to ourselves. We have 150 acres that are our property over this weekend. And at 10 p.m., the front doors here will close. They'll automatically close. You're going to need your key to get in and out. So if you go out for something, your vehicle, you're going to need your key to get back in after 10 p.m. At 11 p.m., the main gate out here will close. And in order to get back in, you need to put the code in. The code is on your keypad, on your envelope. And so You can use that code in case you have to go in or out, 4200. It automatically locks at 11, and then it opens up back again in the morning. We do not stream because we don't have all the bandwidth here that we need to do that, but we do record. Appreciate our tech crew that does a great job in making sure we capture all of the meetings. There will be way too much for you to absorb over this weekend, we know, but it'll be recorded and it'll be posted on the men's meeting site so that you can have that, you can share that. It'll be started to post tomorrow. I'm excited. The first three services, we have Brother Jason Watkins tonight, we have Brother Tim Dodd in the first service in the morning, and then Brother Tim Dodd in the second service in the morning. And that just gets us started. Then in the afternoon, we have Brother Andrew Murray from Dublin, Ireland. He's a pastor in Dublin, Ireland. Brother Andrew, stand up real fast. He's going to be ministering in the afternoon. Back in the month of May, we had the wonderful opportunity to be in Belgium. For a men's meeting, European men's meeting. We hadn't held one for a number of years. Last one was in Copenhagen, Denmark, and we were able to go over this year, and Brother David organized the men's meeting for us. It was just tremendous, and Brother Andrew spoke there, and Brother David Iverson spoke there. Brother David, stand up. He's no stranger to most of us. God bless you, Brother David. Brother David is from Nazareth, Belgium, and they've flown in to be with us in this meeting. So Brother Andrew speaks first in the afternoon, then Brother David, then we have a special guest who's going to speak a little short session after that, and then Brother Sam Browning in the evening. So how's that for a day? Amen. So you're going to need a recording after all of that takes place, that's for sure. And we're just excited about what God's going to do. Now, the only thing that I need to tell you is that in our area, it's just us on 150 acres and a whole bunch of bears, black bears. You don't need to be afraid of a lot of things, but you do need to be afraid of bears. Bears will hurt you. Okay, so if you're out there and you see a bear, good luck. So the change in schedule looks like this. 8 a.m. is breakfast. We threw that in for Trevor Eamon. 8 to 9 is breakfast. 9 o'clock, you can come in the sanctuary. It'll be open for prayer. And that'll be unstructured, but we have a half hour where we just take prayer time in the morning. 9:30 is our first session. Then we take a break, okay? We do a session for about an hour and 15 minutes, and then we take a break. There'll be a really nice snack and refreshment for you in that break. But it'll be limited to 15 minutes. And then right after that, we have our second session, and we have lunch, and we give you a two-hour break for your lunch there. In the afternoon, we start at 2, go to 3:15 for the session. You'll have this. This is on the website, so if you're LinkedIn, you can go there and get these numbers. And then we have a break, and then 3:30, we have our fourth session. We have a little break, and then 5 o'clock, we have a little short session there, 5:30 dinner. After the service tonight, we have a snack prepared for you. Meals here are great. They are great. And you'll get plenty to eat while you're here. But right after the service, we know people have traveled and are weary, but we'll have a little snack for you afterwards. And then we'll do a devotional. Brother Stacy Goodbread is here from Florida, and he's going to do our devotional tonight. They're only short little devotionals because we do everything together in the men's meeting. Okay, so afterwards we have our snack, then we have our devotional, and then Betty Bye. Okay, and get some rest because you're going to need it for tomorrow. You may not need it tonight, but you're going to need it for tomorrow. And then tomorrow night, same process, we'll have the evening service, we'll have a meal for you after that, and then we'll have a devotion and so forth, and then go out into Sunday. So these are full days. It's going to go real fast now that we've started here, and we just want you to get the full maximum benefit. So do this for me tonight, just for fun. All of you that are here for the very first time, stand to your feet. First timers. Look at that. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. So we are just honored, like I say, to have you all. When we began the men's meeting back in around the year 2000, 2001, and like I say, we've been at it roughly about 25 years now. I had a call from a young man, and he was a very good young man in another church, and he called me up and he said, "Brother Barry," he said, "I got a question for you." He said, "I want you to teach me how to be a man of God. I want you to," he was single. He said, I want you to, he said, "if you don't mind, can you take some time and instruct me on how to become a man of God?" He said, I look at your sons. He said, I look at you. He said, I look at other ministers and their families. He said, I want to be a man of God, and I want to start learning right now. And I thought, whoa, you don't get asked many questions like that. And I talked to him a little bit, and I said, you know, I said, I believe there's probably a whole bunch of other young men who probably would have the same desire in their hearts. And I said, we ought to get together and have a teaching, have a time we can get together. And I made a phone call. First phone call was Brother Jason Watkins. And I said, Brother Jason, I got a phone call from a young man. And he had had a phone call similarly. And we just, you know, joined together in the vision of this men's meeting and decided, okay, let's have a meeting. Let's hold it. We had a place in Virginia. Second phone call I made was to Brother Lonnie Jenkins. And I said, Brother Lonnie, how would you like to have a teaching weekend where you can teach young men about manhood and, you know, being a man of God? I said, why don't you think about that and consider coming? He said, I'll come. I said, you want to think about it? No. He said, that's the will of God. He said, I'll come. I'll be there. What's the dates? I said, I don't have a place yet. He said, I'll be there. And Brother Lonnie came for many years, several years. He was there, loved it, just absolutely loved the environment and men getting away. Well, the first year, we had a bunch of young men came, and we enjoyed it, had a great time. But I had an uproar afterwards when they all went home and told a story. All these old guys called me up and said, hey, how about us? And so we stopped calling it a young men's meeting, and we called it a men's meeting. And since then, you look around, we've got quite an age range of men here, and men of God. You know, you're here not because, you know, it's an easy thing, or, you know, there's you single guys are not here for the girls. Most people come to this meeting because they really want to come. They really want to hear from God. They really want to get something out of this investment of coming and spending time in His presence. And I will tell you, I've seen God do some great things. And we've seen God do some supernatural things and minister to people's hearts. And I will tell you, I don't have all the documentation, but I've had wives who have called me after the meeting and said, I don't know what you did with my husband, but he's coming back next year. And, you know, men who went back and because God so dealt with them, they went back and began to put their families in order. And, you know, their married relationships were affected and just so many great things. And so, you know, we're just it's just a part that I've been allowed to play and just, you know, to participate. And I've just been blessed every year. I rarely speak at these, but I'll tell you, I've been blessed every year. All my boys are here, and, you know, we're just thankful for the impact it's been on their lives. And I'll tell you, God is good. His word never fails. It's just like a deep, deep well. And He invites us this weekend to draw from that well. Draw deep from the wells of salvation and just ask Him to fill your cup, and I know that He will. Well, without any further ado, we're going to turn it over to our brother Jason and just trust that the Lord will speak to your heart tonight. And hey, we got nowhere else to go, right? They don't even have a TV in your room. So you know what? It's just us. And we should just, you know, make it your prayer tonight. Lord, let this be the beginning we need to get to the end you have determined. And you watch what He does. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's sing that little chorus, Matt, you played in the beginning, This Is Your House. And we'll sing this a time or two, and then we'll turn it right over to our brother Jason. He needs no introduction. And been a blessing all over the world in ministry, and so we just want him to come and take his liberty tonight. And let the Lord have his way. This is your house. Father, come. This is your house, the house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely bring their burdens and their cares. This is your house. This is your. And we are yours.
God bless you. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're very happy to be here tonight. Amen. He said this was, I think, did he say the 25th year? And wow, that's hard to believe. And I was here for the first one, and we were in Virginia. And that was even more remote than this area. So I think this is an upgrade to that. Amen. We were at the 4-H there for a number of years. And I remember those years well with Brother Lonnie and the different ones. Amen. Went many places around the world with him. Brother Barry and I, Brother Lonnie and different ones. Amen. We've had a wonderful time serving the Lord. It's a privilege to serve His Majesty the King. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to invite you right to St. John chapter 12. And I'm hearing just a little bit of feedback. It's probably because I might need to move this mic up just a little bit. Amen. Amen. They'll get it worked out, though. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm one of those people that got carjacked on my way up here. Brother Barry was talking about. And had my sermon all set and ready to go. Somebody started talking to me, said, "Oh, by the way, you're not preaching that." I'm like, okay, well, what am I preaching? And so this is the burden of the word that's on my heart tonight. I've looked over and over and over and over these notes as I created these driving, so don't tell anyone that. Fortunately, my truck will drive itself, so, but I probably looked pretty dangerous trying to do that. Amen. And I've been able to look over them and over them. And by the time I was sitting at the back looking over them one last time, I actually made up my mind, I'm not even going to take this iPad up there because it's just going to slow me down. And I just had a burden on my heart. I just like to preach. Amen. Amen. One of my daughter-in-laws calls it, I said, you know, I'm structured and I have to be structured. She says, yeah, but sometimes you freestyle it. I said, okay, Katie, I'll take it. So tonight we might freestyle it a little bit. Amen. But I had a quote that I wanted to read from Brother Branham, and I don't want to misquote it. And I have a quote from Rittenbaugh that I want to read. And so if nothing else, I want to take those two quotes, and then we'll see how it goes from there. I'm not going to take that long. Amen. But I do want to deliver my soul. And I tell you, this thought tonight is born out of my own heart. This is how I feel about me. Amen. And so if it's a blessing to you, amen, then praise the Lord. Amen. And if it's not, you've got some mighty men of valor who are coming up. Amen. And so we're looking forward to that. Amen. St. John chapter 12 and verse 23 down through verse 33. And Jesus answered them saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." So there's a lot of value in death. Amen? If there's no death, there's no multiplication. See? All right? So he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Now that's a pretty good deal, but you got to make sure that when you follow him, you're not just following the concept of him. Brother Branham talks about many people admire the fine qualities of Jesus. But that's not a birth. See, that's just a mental acceptance. He said, just like a Mohammedan is a Mohammedan because he subscribes to the Quran. And people subscribe to the Gospels, to the Bible. Brother Branham says, so they're Christians. What else would they be? But they're not born again Christians. See, they're just admiring the fine qualities of Jesus. And if you're going to follow him, and you're going to get the big payoff that where he is, you'll be, then you're going to have to follow his life. Amen. See? Amen. If any man serve me, says it again, verse 26, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Let's pray. Master, we thank you. Lord, I'm particularly grateful to you for this fresh inspiration. Lord, I'm just before you. That's all I can do. They sang a song. They invited me to step forward. All I've done is follow you up here. Lord, I'm just your servant. That's all I am. Just your assistant. That's all I want to be. That's all I've ever wanted to be. So, Lord, help us tonight, won't you? I'm sure you will, Jesus. And bring the word. The Bible teaches us that there's a blessing in just reading it. And it goes on to say, as if that's not good enough, there's a blessing in just hearing it read. So, Lord, we're already under your blessing. But now I commit myself into your hands. And, Lord, let this word speak deeply to me tonight and to these men. Lord, we've gathered on purpose. You've arrived on purpose. We're going to preach on purpose. This isn't an accident or happenstance. We didn't get lucky or fortunate. We didn't win a lottery. We were chosen in you before the foundation of the world. We're here for an express purpose. We're here to carry on the ministry of the Son of Man. We're here for an express purpose to be the Word made flesh in the earth again, Lord. That's what your prophet taught us, Lord. We're here to be a final voice to the final age. And that there's no greater voice than the voice of a lived life. So help us, Lord. Help us. May we look to you tonight for all of our leadership and guidance. We commit ourselves into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If I could get some water, Brother Barry, I don't see it, but I might be overlooking it. I tell people I'm overlooking things all the time, and I'll just tell them that's why I don't hunt snakes for a living. Amen, because I'd get wiped out on the first day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you tonight on a title, Lifted from the Ashes. And it is, thank you, sir. It's something that I want to take just maybe a first little portion here and just lay some foundation, and I can get down to the burden on my heart. That be all right? All right, I know you're tired. I know you've driven all day, and I'm not a long-winded preacher anyway, so just sit tight. It'll be okay. Amen. You know, when we talk about being lifted from the ashes, you know, there's a lot that can be said about it. I suppose tonight that, and I've deliberated on where to start, and ironically, I'm going to start almost from the bottom of the notes, but that's just how I'm feeling it right now. But you know, we hear the term something rose up from the ashes. Yeah. You know, at the end of World War II, Hiroshima, today you look at it, you'd never know that a nuclear detonation occurred. You'd never know. Those pictures that you look at of the city that was nothing but ashes. But that city rose up from the ashes. And you can talk about Berlin and cities in Germany that were bombed into near obliteration, and those cities have risen up from the ashes. And I've walked many cities in Europe where war took place, and you know, people can have their lives burned down around them and rise from the ashes. Businesses can go belly up and then get the right man in there, reorganize things, and it'll rise up from the ashes. And you say, I thought they went bust. Well, they're back. you know, people can enjoy fame and then suddenly they don't have it anymore and you don't hear from them. And then suddenly they get a leading role and they just rise from the ashes. You know, there's all kinds of ways that these kinds of things can happen. And but, you know, there's something to be noticed. There's a great difference in rising from the ashes and being lifted from the ashes. And I want to deal with that a little bit tonight. Now, you know, I just was thinking about history and all of the stories, you know, since the recorded history. They can go back as far as they want and they find great stories, redemption stories. The world has many over the centuries. Many of them are true stories. Many of them are fiction stories. And you know, there's something that's appealing to people when you talk about redemption. That, you know, I had an upper position and then I lost it and then I got it back and I was running strong, but then something happened and I floundered and fumbled, but now I'm back on track. And you know, they've written about it. I prefer the true stories, but, you know, Homer wrote in the Iliad and different things, and he wrote about, you know, the redemption there, not necessarily like we would call it, but the stories of Hercules and his 13 impossible, 12 or 13, whatever it was, task, and all along the way, you know, he's able to kind of, he's being punished. And so all along the way, he's given opportunities to kind of redeem himself a little bit. Achilles, the same thing. He kills Hector, and then, you know, everybody feels bad, and he feels bad. And then Homer writes how that he has a moment of softness in his heart. He's going to allow Hector's dad to come and claim the body. And everybody, oh, Achilles, he's redeemed himself. He's not so bad after all. But you know, I like when I think about stuff like that, I say, I'm glad for opportunities of redemption. I like people like, you know, when I think about redemption, I think about a prodigal son. I think, because that's a true story. That's a real story where somebody started with a lofty position. They lived in a fine home on a great estate and they were the son of a great man. But they made decisions that burned their life down around them. And men are bad for that. They'll burn their life down. And even opportunities, and even they can be born with a, as they say, a silver spoon in their mouth. And through fast living and friends, fair weather friends, and friends you thought were your friends, but they were only there for, you know, what you would do for them. Then you found out they weren't your friends. Then you found out you didn't have any friends. You know, and here he is, and he's ready. He's so low that he's ready to fight hogs over the slop. But the Bible talks about how that he came to himself, and he remembered, I have a father. Oh, I'm glad I remembered that one day. I came to myself, and I remembered, wait a minute, I have a father. Oh, and he paid a great price, and I don't have to live like this, and I can be redeemed. The story of Paul is a great redemption story. Thinking his whole life was on track, thinking he was serving God perfectly. What a eye-opening experience when he went blind. That was his greatest eye-opening experience of his life, the moment he went blind. But it's what blinded him that's the silver lining. Hallelujah. It wasn't a disease. It wasn't the devil. It was the glory of God. And when he opened up, and when that same God opened up his eyes again, he was ready to really serve God. You're talking about redemption. We're here at a men's meeting, and we're talking about men, great, mighty men of faith, and many redemption stories in the Bible. And I was surprised also to see how many of you here for the first time. I've said this over the various years that I've been here, and I've said it in pulpits around the world, 6 of 7 continents carrying this message. And I'm always ready to remind men, maybe you've heard me say it before, that manhood, remember, manhood is an office, not a gender. You understand? That's why Brother Branham would say, I've seen men 200 pounds. I've seen men 6 foot. They didn't have an ounce of man in them, see? Because manhood is an office of character. You might be a 20-year-old male. You might be a 50-year-old male. You might be a 70-year-old male and have never been a man in your life. Because manhood speaks of character. Manhood speaks of responsibility. Manhood speaks of dignity. Manhood speaks of dependability, reliability, honesty, integrity. These are the things. What is a man? It's something that God created to live in His own image. And when you're a male, you say, I'm a male. Can I be a man? If you're living according to the image of your Maker, then you're a man. Doesn't matter how old you are. And God operates this way. And that's why I love it how that Brother Branham talks about, you know, there's been all kinds of men. There was great men down through the ages. And he said, and many of those great men died for a great cause. But he said, there was never a man. Oh my. There was never a man who could lay his own life down. Nobody could take it from him. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't take his life from him. He said, I'll lay it down and I'll pick it back up again. There had been all kinds of men. There had been all kinds of men die for a good cause. But there had never been a man who could lay his life down and defeat death, hell, and the grave and bring himself back up out of the ground again. I present to you tonight the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat died, abideth alone. The Old Testament is replete with offerings and sin offerings and under Levitical law and how that they made various offerings. I want to concentrate tonight on the whole burnt offering. Now, the King James doesn't use that word an awful lot. In fact, it only really differentiates in a very few places. But you're more familiar with it than you think you are. But the whole burnt offering, this is commonly called, a lot of times in the King James, if you go into other translations, you'll see it'll say burnt offering, it'll say whole burnt offering, and the context reveals which one it is. It's commonly called a burnt offering in the King James, but sometimes the whole burnt offering. And the reason that whole is added is because other offerings are burned on the altar, but not the whole animal. But this offering, that's the whole burnt offering. That's why that theologians believe it's the greatest representative representing Christ. And because he was wholly devoted to God. He gave all of his life. He gave everything. He held nothing back. When he had every right to. He did not have to die. He did not want to die. Brother Branham said he didn't want to die. He didn't want to die that horrible death. He loved his brethren. He was young. He had life. He wanted to live. See? But and so when we talk about, you know, Brother Branham talks about finding the will of God. And the best way to do it is through prayer. And you've got to get yourself prayed to neutral. And if you don't get to neutral first, I promise you, take it from a man with some seasoning, take it from me. If you don't pray first to get to neutral, you'll hear the voice of God and it won't be God speaking at all. You'll be hearing yourself in an echo chamber. Oh, God told me I could do it. No, He didn't. You told you could do it. You cannot pray that way. Brother Branham says that. You can't pray first until you pray to get neutral. Otherwise, you'll influence that and you'll hear God give you permission to do things. And then you'll pay a horrible price. And I've took a hiding many times from doing that. I've learned not to do that. And you say, well, my goodness, are you not very spiritual? Well, hold on, Brother Branham. I was reading here some time ago. Brother Branham said, I have many times come up from prayer. Now, this is a prophet. And he says, I have come up from prayer many times just as sure that I knew the will of God as anything. But I find that if I'll get back down and pray a little more, sometimes it'll change to something completely different from what I thought. I'm here to tell you something, friend. That's the reason that prayer is your strongest weapon.
Prayer is what makes you in partnership with God. You might can't go with Brother Barry over to Africa, but you can go with him without going with him, because you can, like Paul said, my spirit there with you. You can pray, and through you, and here you are in the States praying, and there's a connection that goes to heaven and goes back down there, and you're there guarding Brother Barry. You're there preparing the way, because your prayer takes you somewhere. It's not just, you know, it's not a wish list, and it's not, God's not Santa Claus, and he's not a vending machine, and you don't operate like that. Prayer is God entering. God is desiring you to be the Word made flesh again in the earth. And that the only way that you can do that is to follow the model that set the standard, and that was the man Christ Jesus. You've got to be willing to become a whole burnt offering. Because it often represents Christ, and alternatively it represents us being entirely and wholeheartedly dedicated to God. Now, you're more familiar with it than you think you are, because you sing that song, which is taken from Psalms 51, created me a clean heart. Remember that? Created me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit in me. We sing that, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He goes on down, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How many sing that? See? So if you just keep dropping on down to verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Remember Jesus said, in sacrifices and offerings thou hast had no pleasure, but a body hast thou prepared me. It is written in the scrolls concerning me, I have come to do thy will, O God. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. One of the few places there where the King James differentiates in the King James Version, where it differentiates those two things as being, as they're the same thing, but one is involving more. So we find that Jesus, he rose from the dead, just like we're talking about. You know, this city rose from the ashes. This person rose from oblivion. This business rose from the ashes. Jesus rose from the dead. But before Jesus could be raised up, he first had to be lifted up. So I'm preaching to you tonight not on being raised from the ashes. I'm not here to give you a business seminar to tell you how to raise from the ashes, but I'm telling you that Jesus, before he could be raised, being raised from the dead was wonderful, but he first had to be lifted. See, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. So he had to be lifted up on the cross. In the indictment, Brother Branham, like so few can, describes the most astonishing sequence of events one could imagine. He says in the indictment concerning the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're familiar with it, they, the most holy place, there in Jerusalem. Remember that? He says, the most holy place, the most religious people, the most shameful death. They gave them, in the most holy place, the most religious people gave the most shameful death to the most precious person. Later he would be lifted up into heaven to sit at the right hand of God and be the redeemer of Adam's race, to be a perpetual atonement and propitiation for the sins of the whole world, to be our, as early church writers called him, you don't hear it a lot these days, but the early writers used the word satisfaction as much or more so than they used the word atonement, because atonement only speaks of one side of it. Atonement just means he was the worthy lamb. He could expiate all of our sin because he was innocent. He was the worthy lamb of God. There was nobody else that could do it. You sure couldn't do it. So he was our atonement. He was that complete worthy one that could satisfy God. It didn't matter if a man died. As Brother Branham said, many died for good causes. That wouldn't free you and me from sin. See? But it had to be somebody completely innocent who had never been born in sin, never knew no sin, never committed a sin, never thought wrong, did wrong, responded wrong. He did always that which pleased the Father. He dedicated his life. He was willing to be. I'm here to tell you, he went to Calvary long before he went to Calvary. His whole life was going to Calvary. Hallelujah. I've come to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. So he was our complete atonement. He was that worthy one. But there also was the preceptive side of the word. Because there had to be somebody to live a perfect life on your behalf. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Amen? That's something you couldn't do. So not only was he the worthy atonement, but he lived the preceptive side of the word, making this one man the total satisfaction. He was my worthy atonement, and he lived a perfect life on my behalf, and he took my sins, and I got his righteousness. He took my failures, and I got his victories. In a whole burnt offerings, or in any burnt offerings, the remaining ashes are disposed of with great care, and it has to be in a clean place. Brother Branham deals with that in numerous sermons. I'm not going to slow down to read so many quotes tonight. But I just think about how that God, laying aside his splendor, and he comes down in Christ, and Christ was going to be a perfect offering to the Lord, a whole burnt offering, having only one goal and one aim. I've quoted it to you several times. It is written in the scrolls concerning me, I have come to do thy will, O Lord. He lived in a way that pleased the Father, and he was lifted up on the cross and hanging between heaven and earth, seemingly abandoned by God. In agony, he surrendered his life. No one could take it from him. The tree of life was cut down, or as the Bible says in the Old Testament, he was cut off for the sins of the people. And who shall declare his generation? Oh my. They laid him in a grave, and he took my sin and he took your sin upon himself. And Brother Branham said, he who knew no sin became sin. And he said, God condemned him as a sinner and sent him to hell. Why, precious friends? So you and I would never have to go there. Behold the man, Christ Jesus. From the tomb, he descended on down to the lower parts of the earth. The Bible teaches us that. The one that ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He walked down that one-way path that leads to hell that no one had ever successfully been able to reverse course and come back from. But I'm here to tell you, Satan got quite a surprise when this one showed up, because this man's death wasn't going to hold. I'm here to tell you, there wasn't a clean place anywhere on the earth for his ashes. And God was never going to let his body go to ashes, because he would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Hallelujah! God raised him up. He led captivity captive, clearing paradise and doing away with it forever. And he's raised back up to the land of the living. And as the Bible teaches us, having died once, he dieth no more. We find that the Spirit of God would then later lift him up again to heaven to right in the sight of his brethren. And then two men are seen standing there in white apparel. And they're looking at these men gazing up. And here's two angelic men in white apparel. And they're saying, hey, snap out of it. Why are you gazing? What are your instructions? Did he not tell you, go into Jerusalem and tarry? I just think how supernatural their lives had become, to where two angels are standing there and start talking to them. Nobody's fainting or passing out. I would like to have that kind of experience where the power of God and angels are just an everyday thing. I'm not wanting to be common, but I'd like to know that they're here and that we're in association with the Spirit of God, and it's real. Amen. Why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus will come again in like manner as you've seen him go. So there's a great difference, as I've said to you, between rising from ashes and being lifted up from ashes. I think about it, and I won't turn to it today. I might just quickly glance at it. 1 Kings, you're familiar with it. We don't need to follow me. I'm just going to refer to it. But it's the story, of course, of Elijah on Mount Carmel. And it came to pass at the time of the evening offering. Oh, friends, have we ever arrived at the evening time? And the evening sacrifice, and Elijah came near. And now the detractors and the naysayers and the false teachers, and they've all tried to bring their God on the scene. But there's no God to bring on the scene. And that's why you see people, when they walk away from this word, they don't have a God to keep guide over their life anymore. And that's why you see them immediately begin to backslide and go off the rails, and their whole family goes off the rails with them. Oh, friends, I'm glad for an abiding presence of the Lord God in our lives, because we have faith in Him, and Him whom God hath sent. And who did He send? He sent Christ. Hallelujah. He sent Christ to speak to us through a prophet messenger. And we're the benefactors today of the truth that came, just like Elijah of old. He wanted God to prove that He was His servant for all the people, and that His word was true. And hear me, O Lord, hear me, that they may know that Thou art God, that Thou hast turned their heart back again. The Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. I mean, you're watching a whole burnt offering. There was nothing left. You're not burning the whole animal, see. So then he says, so it burnt the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And you know the story from there. Elijah takes the prophets and slaughters them and casts their body into the river. So, you know, when you think about this whole idea, this is such a perfect example of a whole burnt offering concept. Because when the fire of God came down, it didn't just char things. It didn't just heat things up. First thing that had to happen was an altar had to get rebuilt. And a lot of times, friends, God has burned our lives down, and the first thing you need to do is rebuild an altar. Amen. And reestablish communication with God. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, He doesn't come to a place that's not clean. It's got to be a clean place. It's got to be somebody with clean hands. It's a clean word. And God is a clean-minded God. Amen. And we find that when the fire came down, it took the offering, it took the wood, it took the stones, it took the dust. It left no trace that there had ever even been an offering there. It licked up all the water, and then the people knew that God was God, and it was like then they doubled down on it. We know the Lord is God, and we know the Lord is God. I'm here to tell you, there's no better way for your family to know the Lord is God than for you to be a whole burnt offering, to where God comes down in your life and burns out the old man, and there's no trace, there's no evidence that you were ever not a son of God. Your life becomes so overwhelming, and you get so far into Christ, the prophet said, Satan can't even find you. That's where I want to go. I want to abide under the shadow of His wings. I want to go into Christ where He can't find me, where my whole life is a whole burnt offering to God. Hallelujah. God, what had formerly been an animal sacrifice, was now lifted up to God. God literally took possession of it. All former trace of it was gone. God took everything, lifted it up, including the ashes. He left no ashes. And I thought to myself, you know, it's a fair question to say, wow, what did He do with all that? And I thought, well, what did He do with the... When Abram gave him a tenth of everything, gave him a tenth of all. And Abraham had herds and flocks and sheep and camels and asses and cattle. He had gold and silver in abundance. And he gave a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek. And Melchizedek left with it and went back to where he came from. I'd like to know where all those animals went to. I'm here to tell you, I don't know where they went to. I don't know what happened to that offering. I just know God took it. I can't explain what happened to me, but God took it. You can't explain your life. It's too supernatural. People say, what happened? He said, I don't know, but God. When did it happen? I don't know. It just God came on the scene, and I'm not the same person. Hallelujah. I'm not the same person I used to be. And I don't want to be the same person I used to be. How could anybody meet Jesus and still want to be who they are? When I met Jesus, I didn't want to be me anymore. I wanted to be Him. Hallelujah. Your life is consumed. You're lifted up from the ashes of sin where you had no chance to save yourself. Oh, friends, do you realize that that's what God has called us to at the time of the evening sacrifice? This is where, because Jesus wasn't the only one that got caught up. John got caught up. John got caught up to the Lord's day. John got lifted up. He said, I saw a door open in heaven. And the next thing you know, he's in the throne room of God. And he sees the whole picture. And I don't know, sometimes I don't understand where the confusion is. And people say, but, well, wait a minute. The church goes up at the end of chapter 3 and then chapter 4, that's the rapture. And so nothing in chapter 4 is happening now? I mean, look, if you read your Bible, you find out that chapter 4 and chapter 5 are the same event. Turn to it with me. I'm just going to pause for a second and show you this. So you find here in Revelation chapter 4. Now the reason this is important is because Brother Branham would say that the bride goes up at the end of chapter 3 and you don't see her again until Revelation 19 when she comes back with Christ. But then what about chapter 5? What about chapter 10? And what about all this activity? What about what's happening under the seals? And we've got a bride moving in the earth. But Brother Branham clears that up when he goes back and he says now in chapter 5, and that's what he says. He says in chapter 5, he said he's showing how he did it. He's showing how he pulled it off. How he went for 2,000 years and through 7 church ages and 7 stars in his right hand. And now in chapter 5, you've got John standing there and a strong angel proclaiming who's worthy. Let him come. And then a lamb, he says, a lion is coming. He's crying, don't weep. The lion has prevailed. He sees a lamb. Brother Ram says he hadn't noticed the lamb. Back in there interceding. Now it's time to claim the book. Now this is our whole life. I mean, you're reading literally what God has done in our day, because when he comes in chapter 10, it's an open book. Amen. And that's elementary to us at this point of the game. We've known that for years. And so when Brother Branham says he's showing in chapter 5 how he pulled it off. But read with me. Read chapter 4, verse 1. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and he sees the throne. Now go to chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. So in chapter 4, he gets caught up and he sees one seated on the throne. And then chapter 5 opens, and I saw in the right hand of him that was seated on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming. Amen. You understand? So sure, of course, that you've got a bride goes up in a rapture. She absolutely does. She leaves the earth. She gets lifted up. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, and then the world's going to go to ashes, and I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Hallelujah. But you realize that we have already been lifted up. You've already been lifted up into the opening of the Word. You've already saw Christ high and lifted up. Just like Isaiah saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And here John, representing the bride, is standing in the throne room of God. Don't lose sight of where you're standing. And not because you were good, or because you were handsome, or because you won a lottery ticket, but because before the foundation of the world, you were part of a being that was so great. All of things were created and made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Listen, there's only one elected Son. That's Isaiah 42. There's only one elected Son, and that's Christ. Well, how did I get elected? Because I was in Christ. Hallelujah. That's why I say amen to the Word. Because I can't not say amen to the Word. Because this is Christ in word form. And I'm eating the body word of the Son of Man. So we don't struggle over these things. We can, of course, we see the bride goes up. And we're not talking about an eighth age or an eighth messenger. That's people go off a cliff thinking that kind of stuff. But I'm also not denying what God is doing right now. Amen. Hallelujah. We were lifted up. And I got a lift off and lift up date coming. And so do you. All your sins, all your failures, all your days as a wandering star. Oh, it's going to go into oblivion. It ain't going to matter anymore on that morning. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed. And we're going to be caught up. We're going to be lifted up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, hallelujah, friends. You know what that makes you? That makes you an unstoppable prophecy. That makes you unstoppable reality. Why do you think, you remember when Brother Branham talks about, he says, what happened out there in the Coronado Forest? You know, this many miles north of Tucson. And he says it was a setting of history. And then he corrects himself. He says a setting of prophecy, rather. Because, if you'll notice, Brother Branham is showing a setting. Now, when we got a setting, I've got a kitchen, and that's a kitchen setting. I've got a living room, that's a living room setting. So this is the setting of prophecy. What you saw out there was a setting of prophecy. It's just like on the day of Pentecost, all right? In the book of Acts. When you look at the Pentecostal experience in the book of Acts, that's not a one-off. That's not a one and done. There's names in the book that are going to have to come that same way. That would be, so it wasn't a setting. Acts, the book of Acts is not a setting of history. It's a setting of prophecy. Because it's to you and to your children and them that are far off and as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a setting of prophecy. But this is always going to be the standard all the way through redemption. You're going to have to come just like they came. And so when a prophet is showing what happened and when God is opening His Word, it's not a one-off. This, you're not a one-off. You're an eternal being. This is going on and on and on and on. We're just getting started. Hallelujah, friends. Oh, glory to God. I'm here to tell you, you're living in a setting of prophecy. You are a setting of prophecy. And this is the age where God calls for men, strong men, to look at the example of Christ and look at the example of the other people in His Bible and say, I want to be part of that family. I want to be identified. I want my life to be a setting of prophecy. God has had to burn too many of us down out of love. He had to constantly burn Samson down. Had to constantly burn Jacob down. Brother Branham said, boy, you're really going to have to really believe in grace if you're going to believe for Jacob. The guy had some serious issues. Brother had issues. Amen. Jacob was the son of God. He actually always was.
a son of God. But he wasn't always acting like one. And no matter how much he got ahead, he was always going one step forward and two steps backwards. And everything he did looked like a good conniving plan until it wasn't. And then this blew up in his face and that blew up in his face. And now he's got to run for his life and he's got to go away to a foreign land. And then God comes down and meets him there. And he wakes up from a dream and he sees a ladder that's connecting heaven to the earth. And he sees angels ascending and descending. And he sees the Son of Man standing there. And he's talking to him saying, now listen, you're going to go and you're going to come back. And I'll be a God and I'll be with you. And if you keep my word and I'll go along with you through your journey. And Jacob took him at his word. But you notice what happened? Jacob had an experience that didn't really change him. And so you know what happened? He got over there with Laban. He started cheating and conniving. Got burned again. Got over here and got some wives and got the wrong one and had to wait and got burned again. Then he's going to try to make a break and make a run for it. And then they catch him and looks like he's going to be killed. And the whole thing, I mean, this guy can't win for losing. The brother could win if he wasn't always losing. But you know, finally he come to a point where I think that you and I came to in our lives. I hope we've came to it. Where we say, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of burning down. I'm tired of one step forward and two steps backwards. I wish I could just make some progress. I wish I could be somebody other than me. I wish I had the strength of the people I see and all this brother. I so admire him. How I'd like to be like that. Let me tell you something, friends. We all do that. We all look at one another. We all know our weaknesses. We all know our failings. We all know our stumblings. Now, there's no record of my stumblings because they're under the blood. Hallelujah. As far as God is concerned, and since he's the only arbiter and judge and magistrate that counts, it only counts what he thinks about me. And so I'm glad it don't matter what you think, and it sure don't matter what I think, because I'm my worst critic. But I'm glad somebody loves me, somebody higher than me, somebody bigger than me, somebody more powerful than me. Somebody who loves me because. Somebody who loves me even so. Somebody who loves me still. Somebody who loved me before I was ever born. Somebody who can fix me. This is a God who understands how I'm built. It's a God who knows my makeup. It's a God who knows my weaknesses. And it's a God who's trying to lead me. Until he finally got to a place. You know, I think sometimes, wow, how has God had to do that? And you know, brothers, we've all had those times where we just, sometimes you can almost despair of life and you think, oh, it's too late. I've done broke it. It's done ruined. I want to tell you something. It's never too late to start doing the right thing. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, or how close we are to the catching away. It's never too late to start right now. Oh, would to God that in this very first meeting, may this be the last 2024. May the next men's meeting be around the throne. And we'll all be 18, 19, 20 years old. It'll be the biggest youth gathering that's ever been heard of. I want that, friends. Do you want that? That's my whole desire. That's what I live for. Too many times we find ourselves meandering along and, you know, years can go by. And I was talking to a brother just today as I was driving, and he was just, I could tell he was having such, you know, regret over his life and lamenting his failures. And, oh, Brother Jason, he said, if I'd have just started earlier, if I'd have raised my children right, and if I'd have been a Christian, or I always wanted to be one, but I never would give in, I never would surrender. And I just said to him, brother, I said, listen, I got some good news for you. And the beautiful part is there's no bad news following it. This is just pure good. Because sometimes, you know, you have to, sometimes you're like Eugene on Odyssey and you come running in and go, hey guys, I got some good news. And I've got some news that pretty well cancels the good news. But this is all good. You ready for some good news? Here it is. Jesus multiplies. You see, because Jesus multiplies,
If he could only add and subtract, if you spent 10 years, 20 years, 30 years getting into a fix, it would take him 10 years, 20 years, 30 years to get you out. But I'm glad he multiplies. And I've seen people go 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years in the wrong direction. And I've seen them finally surrender and break and become ashes. And then God consume even the ashes. And I've seen lives and homes and families and marriages and children. I've seen it turn around in months. After decades of wrong direction, it's never too late. Don't let the devil tell you that. It's never too late. It's never too late. You can start tonight, right now. I'm not interested. You know, they write all these stories and, you know, and Homer writes about it and all these redemption, all these heroes. And, you know, the man, he's going to be a hero and he gets the sword and he slays the dragon and he saves the princess. I'm so uninterested in that. I'm not here to try to get a sword. I'm not here to slay a dragon. I don't care about saving a princess. I just want to know that my name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to know that my life is counting for something. And Jacob finally got to a point where Jacob was so done being Jacob. And he gets a hold of something. Brother Branham said he got finally, Jacob got a hold of something. And he would not let it go because he knew this can make a new me. This can make a brand new me. Jacob had had all kinds of experiences. Jacob had talked to God. Jacob had prayed. God had talked to him. God had showed up. God had tried to help him. God saved him. Saved him so many times. And now here he is, but he's still a shyster. He loves God. Sure, a lot of people have a love for God. There's a Grand Canyon size difference between having a love for God and having the love of God. Because the love of God is only poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Yes. And you see these people, these Christian rock stars and these mega churches, and they get up there. I don't judge those people. A woman standing up there with her bobbed hair and her earrings and her cut up jeans, and she's raising her hands and she's crying real tears. I don't say those are fake tears. I think that woman really admires the fine qualities of Jesus. I'm sure she has a love for God. But that's not having the love of God.
Amen.
Because the love of God produces the life of God.
Amen.
That's an experience that happens in your heart. Hallelujah. That's a setting of prophecy. And that's what Jacob came to. Jacob got to the point where now it's not just an experience to excite him, or an experience. It's not just an encouragement. This is not just a promise. This is a reality. This is everything he's been hoping for. This is everything he's been looking for. This is what I was searching for, what you are searching for. And he found it. He found it out. How many in here tonight, my precious brother, you're not interested in saving a princess. You're not interested in killing a dragon. You just want to know. You want to know that you know that you know. Hallelujah. How many men are willing to be defenders of the faith? How many of you men are saying, I want to be a whole burnt offering. I want my whole life to be a sacrifice for God. Oh, all over the building, hands up. Why don't we stand up to our feet tonight and say, Lord God, this is what I want. I want my whole life to be in complete surrender. I don't want to be just a burnt offering. I want to be a wholly consumed. I want you to take the wood and the fire and the sacrifice and the dust and the water and everything. I want to be a complete burnt offering. A whole burnt offering for you, Jesus. Lord, you see hands up all over the building, and these are sincere men, Lord. They are meaning it from the bottom of their heart, Lord God. We don't want to go like Jacob and just have another experience. I want an experience that changes my life. Jacob finally had an experience that changed his nature. It changed his character. He had to have a whole new name. Lord, that's what we want tonight. I don't want to be me anymore. We don't want to see our lives, Lord. We're tired of one step forward, two steps backwards. I pray for these men tonight. I pray that every one of them, young and old alike, will say, Lord, tonight I want to have that whole burnt offering experience. Tomorrow I want to be like Jacob. When I stand and I see the sun come up, I'm a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. May you grant it to us, Lord. We love you, Father, tonight. I pray, Lord God, that you will take these offerings of these men, these hands that have gone up everywhere, Lord, that you would receive it tonight. Receive it as a whole burnt offering. Receive sincere hearts tonight, Lord, that are saying to you, Master, I want my whole life now to be consumed and lost in you. Oh, I wonder if we could sing that song, Consume Me, Lord, with the fire of your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sure you know that song. Amen, 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 amen. You love him? Hallelujah. I love him, friends, with all my heart. I so want to be like him. I've had all kinds of experiences. I would say you have too. And you will have some more. But have you really had that experience? That really, really, when the sun came up the next day, do you really know you were completely changed? Bow your heads with me all over the building. I don't mean to keep lingering. I know it's starting to get late. And I know this is, I'm going to admit, you're a son of God. It's highly unlikely you'd be here if you weren't. So I know you've had experiences with the Lord. So have I. But I wonder if tonight you'd like to say to the Lord, Lord, I want that next level of experience. I want that thing that sets me in a pattern and on a path to where hands are everywhere. My goodness, honest men, that's honest hearts. Wow, that's honest hearts. You're men of years. You've served the Lord. For years you've served him. Many of you preach like and carry the gospel like some of us other ministers. But like me, like you, we want to say, oh God, I want more. Oh, I want more. Lord, the only path upward, Father, is to be willing, as Jesus said, except a corn of wheat die, it abideth alone. I want to be a multiplied garden of your life. Lord, I pray for all those hands that went up. Dealing with hearts now, Master, I commit the service into your hands. Lord, we've gathered here not to be seen. We've gathered here, Lord, not because it's some hangout. That's not what it is. Lord, we're looking to know you more. We're looking to be consumed by you. I want you to come down and take everything unlike you out of me. Take all of me and give me all of you, Lord. Oh, credit. To where you can know today, friends. To where you can know when you leave this service tonight, when you walk out of this building, I want you to know that he has taken all your ashes and he has turned them into everything that he is. And you can now have his life. Oh, Lamb of God. I think about, Lord, how you have even taken ashes that we look around and we see this got burned down and that got burned down. But Lord, you even take ashes and get good out of it. You do that. That's how you operate, Lord. Adam was more valuable after the fall because now he can know a redeemer. He had no Jesus is a faithful high priest because he went through the trials and the tribulations. He was stronger having passed the test at Gethsemane. Lord, tonight, don't let the devil beat anybody down to where they think they can't get back. It's too late. They came to these meetings. They so want to be a part of this that they see and they feel. Let them know they can be, Lord. You can take it tonight. You can make them more valuable, Father. Even with their ashes, even with their failures, you can build on that. You know how to use that and turn it against the enemy. Grant it, Lord, I pray. Oh, we love you tonight, Master. And I feel quite finished, Lord. And I'll just give it into your hands now. I believe that all that needed to be said has been said. And Lord, now I just wait for the Holy Spirit. Consume us. Consume me, oh Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's our cry tonight. We're going to lift up this song to you, Master. It's coming from the bottom of our heart. Oh, may you grant it to us tonight, Lord. This is a prayer song. Hallelujah. Consume me, Lord, with the fire of
raise up those hands tonight. Wow, brothers, that is so beautiful. Oh, let's lift it up again. Sing it to Jesus with all your heart now.
Oh, consume me.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. You're the worthy one. You're the worthy one. God, grant it.
Oh, pray me,
Without the music now, without the music, just the man.
Consume me, Lord, with the fire of your Spirit. Consume me, Lord, and may
time. Oh, consume me, Lord, fire of your Spirit. Consume me, Lord. Make me more. Cast me not away. stand now. Thank you, Jesus. Create in me a clean heart. He's a master at taking something out of the ashes and making something beautiful out of it. I said many times, God doesn't need to have something great to make something great. Look around. He took you and I. He's building a bride in the earth and knows exactly how to do that. But you know what? Life will beat you down. Life is tough. Life has got lots of things that come at you, throws things at you that a lot of times you don't expect. The things that happen that dull our joy and dull our enthusiasm for the things of God. And that's the world we live in. And it can come in the form of sickness, or it can come in the form of, a catastrophe in your life, or some church problems. I mean, different things will come. And, you start to think, what's the point? You're dragging and you feel, my goodness, you feel so overwhelmed. There's just so many things. And if somebody asks me to do one more thing, I think I'm going to explode. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but I'll tell you what, that's, especially in the hour that we're living in, with the darkness in the world, and there's no social support we haven't left anymore. The decency and the moral boundaries and all of that, that's among God's people. That's not left in the world. It's become like Sodom and Gomorrah, like it's supposed to be. Well, I'll just tell you this, and forgive me here now, but I see you're still pulling, so sorry. Jason, if you want to come back and keep going, you can, but if you don't come back, I'll say this. Brother Jason was talking about Jacob and how he could have experiences and still be the same person. And all of you come from good churches, or you are pastors of good churches, and you're still reading the message you've always read and preaching good things, and you're hearing good things every service, and it's just amazing. And you can be in services for a while and feel like, I'm hearing good things, but it just seems like nothing's really taken hold, or it's not catching me the way that it should. But Jacob, he kept going. And finally came to the place where God said, okay, Jacob, enough is enough. Let's go back home, because I'm going to bless you back in Israel. And he's at a low point where he's in this, going down by the river. And he realizes that Esau's coming after him and got all those armed soldiers with him. Jacob is so low, he says to his wife, he says, honey, you just want to go ahead and get that and take care of that. And I'll tell you what, we're going to split the whole family up into two. Some of you sisters will go that way. Some of you sisters and the kids will go that way. And I'll tell you what, I'll be praying for you. I'll be right here praying for you. I mean, that's how low he is, right? And he comes to the place where, he's out by the river Jabbok there. And I've been to that place, just a little bend in the river. And all of a sudden, here comes the angel out of the blue, jumps on his back. There's no precedent for that in Scripture. I don't find anywhere where he did it again. But here is Jacob, and he's unaware of the presence of this angel, but he jumps on his back and starts wrestling. Now, the angel could have won that wrestling match, but he allows Jacob to wrestle, and the Bible says that they wrestled until the break of day. And the angel's not going to let him go, and Jacob's not going to let him go, and they're wrestling, going back and forth and back and forth. And finally, in the conversation that they have, this angel reaches over and touches Jacob in the hollow of his thigh. And somehow or another, that was enough for everybody, because that's when the wrestling ended. When the angel touched Jacob in the hollow of his thigh. And so to get up on their feet, and the angel, he's gone. We don't hear of him anymore. He's gone. But now Jacob takes a step. And he's walking differently now. He's walking differently now. And every step he takes, he realizes that's because I've had a meeting with God. Now my walk is different. Now my testimony is different. Now everything is different because I've met him and I know him and I've touched him. I've met God face to face. And every step in his life from that point on reminds him that he's not just Jacob now, but he's the son of God. He's Israel in the eyes of God. Everything has changed. This is not the ordinary type of being in a good service or being around good people or in a camp meeting or not. This is a meeting with God. This is an encounter with God. And now his walk betrays that experience that he had with that angel. I say this, listen, if you need God to jump on your back, you're in the right place. Say, Lord, listen, I've been in a lot, I've heard lots of things, I've seen lots of things, I've traveled the world, but Lord, sometimes it just takes you jumping on my back and wrestling me so that when I leave here, my walk is different and my talk is different and my testimony is different. And if you need him to jump on your back, you should say, Lord, you have free course today. I'm turning my back. You can jump on my back anytime because, Lord, I want to have that experience that changes how I walk through this life. I don't believe we have much time left, but in that time, I want to walk like a son who has met God. I want to walk like a son who knows God. I've met him. I've wrestled it out with him. I've gone through it with him, and I've been in the river alone with him. And Lord, that's the kind of walk that I want to have now, different than I ever had before. My goodness, I'll tell you what, I just, you know, just sense from your spirit and your attitude that that's the kind of desire that you have in your heart. Because we just don't, listen, we don't want to be climbing the ladder and then find out at the end that it's been leaning against the wrong wall. If we're going to go through this, if we're going to suffer and we're going to sacrifice for this, hey, we want this ladder to be leaning against the right wall. And Lord, if I'm leaning against the wrong wall, change it now and put me in the right direction here. Lean me against the right wall and set my feet straight here, because the footsteps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You are the person in your family that's going to make the difference. And you're the person that's going to hold that standard more solidly than anybody else in your family. And you know what? You don't have all the answers. I'll guarantee you don't have all the answers. But you want to make sure you have an encounter with the one who knows all those answers. And as long as he's with us, hey, I can go forward. Brother Bam said about Hannah in the temple. He said he promised her. He said she's going to have a child. He said he could have spoke that child into existence right there, and Samuel would have been born right there. But he said all she had was the promise that God was going to do it. And she left that temple rejoicing. She left that temple believing God's going to do it. We better quit. We better quit. I give myself away. Let's sing that little chorus tonight, and we're gonna turn it over to Brother Jaron. He's gonna just sing and worship with you a little bit, and in about a half hour or so, we're gonna have food and be up in the cafeteria again, and you'll be able to sit and fellowship and so forth, and we'll enjoy that time together and have our devotion. But let's just say, I just feel good. That's a pretty good start, wouldn't you say? Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Let's just appreciate Him. Hallelujah. That's service number one. Give my service away. Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself.
myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see your desire.
Raise your hand tonight if you feel like God's spoken to you. And if there's something in you that you want Him to consume by His fire. Just let the Holy Spirit just search your heart, and there may be things in your life and things that are there, and maybe not necessarily sinful or problematic, but just things you want cleared out of your life. Your mind unburdened by things. My, just almost every hand raised in the building here tonight. Take that hand now and lay it upon the brother next to you. Lord Jesus, as we stand in your presence tonight, Lord, and we do sense your presence is near, not only, Lord, because of the atmosphere in this building, but, Lord, just because that your word has made promises, Lord, about this end time people and this end time bride that gathers, Lord, in the full revelation and the full declaration of your person in this last day. And Lord, we believe you're near. We believe you're nigh, as close as the breath we breathe. And Father, we're just reaching out to you now and just praying, oh God, that this word would just penetrate, Lord, deep within our hearts. And that, Lord, that the holy presence of God may come and just burn out those things that do not belong. We curse those bounds that hold your people back, Lord. And Father, may they be loosed in the presence of Jesus Christ tonight, Lord, and set free from the things that hold them back. Lord, we want to cleanse out this vessel. We want to cleanse out this temple, Lord, and just have you come afresh. And Lord, minister to every heart and every soul, oh God. We want to be representatives of the kingdom, Lord. We want to display eternal life in this last dying world, Lord. The last days of this dying world. In a world that's falling apart. And God, we're just about to step into that kingdom. And Father, we just pray now that your holy grace, Lord, would just be present, Lord, in every life, every heart, Lord, every soul. Cleanse our lips, cleanse our eyes, cleanse our ears. Lord, everything that we experience, oh God, may come through the right filter. And Lord, just I pray, may the hand of the enemy, Lord, just be loosed from your people tonight. We testify of your goodness, Lord. We testify of your Spirit's ability, Lord, to be able to come right to the point in our lives, Lord, right to that place, dear God, that we have need of in our everyday life. Lord Jesus, multiply your presence here over this weekend. I pray, dear God, just increase, Lord, and just bring that blessing, a bountiful blessing, Lord, in every service and in every life. We commit our hearts to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How we love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart. Amen and amen. I wonder, could we sing that little chorus, More of You, More of You? And we're going to let Brother Jaron just come and worship with you just for a little bit tonight. And it's just a good thing to linger in his presence just for a little while. More of You, let's sing it tonight. More of You. Yes, more. I've had it all. More of you. Of these, I've had my fill. Let's just raise our hands and worship for a while. I hung. Are you hungering tonight? Oh, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer. Oh, more of. Sing it again now. Oh, more of you. Yes, Lord.
look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Joy of reaching your heart, oh, and when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things, oh, I love this part, shadows in the light, oh, let your light shine, Jesus, hallelujah, then I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, oh Lord, for the reason I live is to worship you. Then I worship you. I worship you. Oh, the reason I live is to worship you. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. And he is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. Accomplish what concerns me today. I'm so glad of that. He is able, yes, more than able to handle anything that comes my way. Think about it, church. He is able. Hasn't he been lovely? Amen. My, what a consuming fire the Holy Spirit is. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord is not a place. Amen. It's a place in our hearts for him. Amen. Well, we're just going to close this service, amen, very prayerfully. And you just continue to worship. I think they have a little devotional this just after the service, right in the building above us, where we were eating dinner earlier. So if you just make your way up there, and we'll just have a little word up there, and before we go our separate ways to our rooms, and just be prayerful and think about the next service. Amen. We'll just want to meet this same spirit and atmosphere that we've created here when we come back to this place. Amen. You can sing that as you go, friends. He is able. You are dismissed at this time. He is able.